Hello, welcome back to the Coach Anya Below the Bar podcast. So I am doing this episode on meal plans. So before I jump into it, I just want to do a quick rundown on my photo shoot prep. Not that anyone cares, maybe people do, but it could help someone who might be thinking about going into one in the near future. So I just started week 17, so I have 3 weeks to go. Jesus, I don't know, I was gonna cry there. So yeah, it's getting tough, but you know, when it gets tougher, you know the end is near. It's just constant food noise. Like, I got like a massive delivery there from NutriQuick. Like, they were very generous. They gifted me like their new range of fake away meals and protein pots. Like, you know how much I love protein oats. It's not that I can't eat them, like, yeah, I'm allowed to eat them, but it's like, and they are actually, the macros on them are very good. Like, they're very low calorie meals and stuff. But when I say, like, there must have been about 20 meals and like 16 pots, like, obviously I'm not going to eat all them in one go, but I just got like these really, really bad cravings all of a sudden. I was like, oh my God, because there was just so much food in front of me. And I'm thinking, oh, dirty fries. That was the name of one of them. Spaghetti bolognese, a spice bag. And I was like salivating. I literally gave half of them away to my brother. Put them in the freezer. Like, I wasn't able to store most of them anyway. Like, there was just a lot. And I gave some to my friend. And then I kept like two or three meals and two or three protein pots. But it's like, I could just eat all these protein pots right now if I wanted to, but like the mental resilience, it's been one of the most challenging moments now on this photo shoot prep. So I literally just went out on my walk. I actually had one of them. I had the chicken curry version, the Chinese fake away, and counted it as my lunch. And I went out on a walk, and then I came home, and then, you know, did a few bits, and then I actually made my own dinner then. But yeah, that was tough. But again, it's not that I can't have them. It's like, right, I'm already after like tracking my food for today. Like, this is just going to mess everything up if I start kind of having meals that I didn't track and stuff. And it just messes up. Well, I had a really high calorie breakfast. And then if I have like this, you know, chicken curry, it means that my dinner is going to have to be less calories. And it can just be a bit of a headache. Like, it's mentally fatiguing, like physically fatiguing as well. Yes, this far in, but it can be just mentally fatiguing. It's like you're constantly doing maths in your head about like, oh, well, you know, usually most days are straightforward and, you know, have my same meal times. I usually rotate like meals, you know, probably the same two or three breakfast, lunch, dinners. Like, I'm getting more into cooking now. I'm getting more creative with my calorie budget to keep things interesting. But, you know, I do be happy with the foods I'm eating because they're tasty and they're something different. Whereas when I did a photo shoot last year, it was only 9 weeks now. It was like literally a walk in the park compared to this one. This one's like 19, 20 weeks. And, you know, I wasn't really creative with my food last year. It was like pretty much the same stuff all the time, but it was only 9 weeks, so it didn't feel that bad. So, you know, this one, because it's longer, I am getting more creative with my cooking and thinking, right, how can I spread these calories out but still fit in foods that I like? So I know that the subject is meal plans. So for example, it changes, like say every 2 to 3 weeks I start like rotating maybe a different set of meals and stuff. I find that's just so much better rather than going into a supermarket and just buying everything and anything. Half the food goes to waste. You know, it's not very cost effective. So that's one of the reasons why I like sticking to my own little menu, we'll call it. But yeah, it's been tough. Like, I started at 62 kg at the start of this prep. Like, I can really notice it now in the mirror when I look at myself. Like, wow, like I've lost a stone, like 15 pounds I've lost. But I didn't get into this to lose body fat. Losing body fat is a byproduct of this. Like, I wanted to get ripped. I wanted to like reveal the muscle I've been building over the last 2 years. And the only way you can do that is by dropping body fat percentage. If I just wanted to drop body fat, I would have just done a normal calorie deficit. I wouldn't have needed to do this. But if I'm going to be doing a photo shoot, you know, what's the point turning up with a half-arse physique? Sure, I could take them photos myself. I want it to be a worthwhile photo shoot. I want to know that like I worked hard for it and, you know, the fruits of my labor showed up. And I did something that 99% of the population will probably never do. Maybe they don't want to do it, but yeah, that's what it takes to be in the top 1%. You have to make really, really tough sacrifices. Now, look, that photographer has to turn up no matter what on the day. Well, he has his own studio. I go to him, but he doesn't give a shit if you walk in and you have a half-arse physique and you didn't put effort in. He's just there to do a job. He's there to take pictures. But why would I scream from the rooftops that I'm doing a photo shoot, a fitness photo shoot? Why would I waste money on a coach, you know, who's giving me a roadmap, you know, and pushing me only to in the evening time, like have half a pack of biscuits, have takeaways here and there, still drink on the weekends. What would be the point in all that? That's just, you know, I'd be a fraud. I'd turn up on the day and be like, why are you even taking pictures of yourself? Like, this is, you could have done this yourself. So yeah, they're the thoughts that go through my head when I have times of like, oh, I'd love this. I know what would fix my tiredness now. A nice bowl of Rice Krispies, you know, carbs are fuel and stuff. On those days where I'm really like lifting or putting one foot in front of the other and it takes absolute effort, you know, I'm feeling aches and pains now. I'm just so much more tired. I'm waking up a lot earlier in the mornings now. I don't know why. I don't know whether it's just because the room fills with light now because the mornings are earlier. But I'm actually enjoying waking up that extra bit earlier too, because I actually get an hour in of reading, and I have like a little protein coffee, a little protein cappuccino. I have like that recipe on my page. And it's just a little kind of time for me to get a little bit of work done. Then I go and do my cardio. I genuinely don't know what I'm going to do with my life when I finish this, because it's so time consuming. That's one thing I would mention to anyone thinking about this. Like, I spend about 4 hours in the gym, not in a row. I spend about 4 hours being active a day, not in a row. But like, you know, I have my cardio in the morning. Then I go back in the afternoon and I do my workout. I use my lunch to fuel my workout. I usually use my breakfast to fuel my cardio. You know, kind of 50-50. I either have my breakfast before or else after a cardio in the morning. And then I go back in the afternoon after my lunch and I do my weights and then another bit of cardio after that. And then my steps are 12,000 steps. So like, that's about 2 hours worth of walking. But again, I split that up over the course of the day. Like, I do an hour in the morning as well and then an hour in the evening. But that's what I'm talking about. It's a lot. Like, I really don't know how I'm juggling things at the minute. But I just keep thinking, the end is near. 3 weeks to go. It's going to fly in. I think most of the hard work is done now. Like, even my own coach said, he goes, I think you probably only have about 2 pounds more to go. And like, we have the look locked in. So we're already talking about peak week. Peak week is literally where you manipulate how your body is going to look, like you dry it out. I think I spoke about it in a podcast before, but my coach is going to ring me and he's going to go through what the protocol is. So it's basically where you dry your body out. Like, have you ever like woken up after a night of drinking? You look very dehydrated after a night of drinking. That's what you look like, because you nearly are dehydrated. Like, you drain all the water on the surface of your body. So when you have like a lot of water retention, especially with your period, you know, the way you can look kind of bloated or look like you're carrying more weight, but you're not, like, it's just water retention. You just look swollen. You basically drain all of that out of you. And then your muscles look more defined. But it's literally only temporary. Like, it's literally only for a day or two. Like, you couldn't be going around all year looking like that. But that's just what you have to do. Like, imagine going out the night before, or not even. If you were to do something that would like make you look really swollen the next day, that would be kind of pointless, and you probably would ruin it. Like, to be honest, I always keep thinking, God, Enya, imagine like after putting all this work in and then like falling down the stairs and breaking your leg. I don't care. I genuinely don't care. I would turn up to that shoot and I would do it in a body cast. I'd call it like art. Because there's no way I'm pushing this off. Like, even my coach said, oh, you know, sometimes people don't put in 100% of these things and they're not ready in 20 weeks. And like, you have to kind of push on for another 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm like, well, I'm going away at the start of June. So I'm going to have to look the way I look by the time it gets there. But he made a good point. And he said that, you know, if you get to the finish line and or the photo shoot day and you aren't 100%, you aren't at the point where you've achieved the look you wanted to achieve, you've no one to thank but yourself, and you've no one to blame but yourself. So if you do get the look you wanted to achieve, you only have yourself to thank because you did the work. And if you don't, you only have yourself to blame. You have to put the work in. Like I said, that photographer turns up no matter what. It's not his fault, and it's not your coach's fault either, because he expected you to give 100% and you didn't. But yeah, I don't think I'd do another one for a long time, because when I did the last one for 9 weeks, I even found that time consuming, and this is like double the amount of time. And I just feel like now I just want to kind of start being able to go out for meals with my friends and stuff. And I kind of feel sorry for my other half, like boyfriend, because as much as he bites his lip, like it is hard to kind of do things that don't revolve around food. Not so much the alcohol, but just being able to like go for food and sit down and have a chat. Like, we're constantly just going on walks all the time, or like going to the cinema. And then I don't really like going to the cinema because, you know, it's easy for him. He can sit there and eat his popcorn and his nachos, and I'm like, oh well, you know, I've already reached my calorie intake today and stuff. But Yeah, it's little things like that that are starting to kind of get mentally draining now. But I know, like, it's only 3 weeks away anyway. But anyway, so as I said, like, I'm very regimental with my food at the moment, and I have my own meal plan. So I want to talk about meal plans. You know, when are they necessary? Does everyone need one? Pros and cons, etc. How to build your own one. So the pros and cons, let's start off with the pros and cons of a meal plan. So pros, it cuts out the thinking power, especially you might be someone who's like super busy. You might have a fair idea about nutrition, but you're like, do you know what, Enya, I don't have the ability to wake up every day and think, what am I going to eat today? Can you just do me up a plan? Here's all the foods I like, here's the foods I don't like. And I'll just go shopping and I'll get those foods, and then I'll know what I have to eat to reach my macros. It's I suppose that's a really good pro for people who maybe have a busy lifestyle. And then you get people who don't like sticking to meal plans. They just like sticking to their own thing. They're not for everyone, but they are for some people. They are beneficial for someone who might not be educated in the nutrition area, so they haven't got a clue where to start or what to do. Like on my app, if you sign up for that, you're given a. It will probably be for people who need accountability and also who need like guidance on what to eat and what to do in the gym. So like, there's a meal plan given, and again, cuts out the thinking power. I don't know what, you know, protein is, what's in what, what's, you know, what carbs is in this, what fats in that. So signing up to the app and getting a meal plan cuts out the thinking power again. And you might learn something from it too. It works better for some people, so you know when it's needed. So for example, I have a client who she was tracking her own calories for ages, and the scale wasn't really budging, and she was like, Enya, like, I'm tracking every calorie that goes through my mouth, like I don't know what I'm doing. And I believed her, like I genuinely did. You know, and she was really good with hitting her macros and stuff like that. And then I was like, it should be moving, like with the amount of activity you're doing, like, you know, we're usually most people are in a 500 calorie deficit, and when I didn't see the scale moving for like 3 or 4 weeks, I'd like chop maybe 50 calories off every day, still wasn't budging. The following week, another 50 calories, still wasn't budging. I was like, something's not right here. I was like, look, I'm gonna give you a meal plan. Tell me the food you like, food you don't like. This is a one-on-one client. And then she stuck to the meal plan, and the scale started moving. She was like, God, I feel so full. Like I don't think I was eating properly beforehand. This has really opened my eyes to, like, you know, the type of foods that I need to be eating to make me feel fuller. I have more energy and stuff. Like, some people actually benefit from them. Some people think they don't need them, and then you give it to them and it works for them. So that's just an example of meal plans do suit certain people. And you know, it's not one size fits all now. Like, you know, some people can still lose weight without a meal plan. They can track their own calories and their own macros, but they can benefit some people like that. And it's cost effective. So like I said, I go to the shopping center every week at a supermarket, I should say. And even with my clients on the app, like, they're given a shopping list to go to the supermarket, buy all these ingredients rather than going in and just buying whatever, and half the food goes to waste. Like, you're specifically buying food for the 2 or 3 breakfast, lunch, and dinner options you're going to be making throughout the entire week. And you know, there's barely any food waste. So yeah, that's it. It's good in that sense. So the cons, it can be restrictive. So like, there's no flexibility. So for example, if you are someone who hasn't got a clue about nutrition and you are like regimental with this meal plan, when you go out to a restaurant, you know, you can kind of start panicking, thinking, oh my God, like what's in this? Like, this is not on the meal plan. What if I deviate? Like, how many calories? You're not actually educating yourself. If you buy a meal plan off a coach, you're not getting coached one-on-one. There's no education involved. You know, there's no kind of, oh, this is why you're eating this, etc., etc. You can start to panic, and you're not actually learning about macronutrients. You're not learning about protein, carbs, and fats. You know, why you're on the calories you're eating, why you're on the type of food that you're eating. Whereas like, if you do sign up to my app, like, there's loads of like educational stuff on there, like to teach you about that. And obviously my Instagram page and the podcast teaches my clients, and then, you know, maybe potential clients, about macronutrients, calories, foods, etc. But yeah, it can be quite restrictive, and you're not actually learning about food. You're just being given like a crutch, I suppose. Another con is too many coaches are copy and pasting meal plans. So they don't care what food you like. They don't care what foods you don't like. And they're just giving you a generic meal plan. I remember I got a meal plan before I even got into being a PT. Like, it was going back a good few years ago, and the foods on it, I was like, this is just plain and boring. I was like, there's nothing exciting on this meal plan. This is like, it's a bit too clean. Like, it's, you know, there should be a bit of chocolate in here somewhere, or, you know, a bit of spicy sauce in here somewhere. You know, if you follow my Instagram page, you know I like trying to keep my meals nice and tasty, but, you know, high in protein. And you can't stick to something that's bland, that's something that you can't sustain it. If you don't enjoy it, you're not going to be able to sustain it. I think I stuck to it for like a week and I was like, oh no. And that's why a lot of people end up throwing the towel in. They're like, I'm suffering sticking to this. I want to be able to enjoy it. No, calorie deficits aren't easy, but they shouldn't be hard. Like, they shouldn't be rock hard because of the food that you're eating. You know, you want to be able to sustain it long term. The question you should ask yourself when you look at a meal plan that you just buy online is, could I stick to this for the rest of my life? Like, for example, on my app, like, you can tell it what food you don't like, what food you do like, allergies, etc. You can pick different types of diets. So there is a bit of flexibility there. But yeah, too many coaches are just selling generic meal plans. But if you work one-on-one with me, I actually do you a meal plan based on the foods that you like, and obviously the calories and macros that I give you correlate to the meal plan too. So there's just a few pros and cons. So how do you design your own menu? I like to call it. I don't like to call it a meal plan per se. I like to call it a menu. So when I'm designing my own menu, I just think of meals that I enjoy and how can I make them higher in protein. So for example, firstly, okay, let's just take Mary, for example. Let's make up a girl called Mary and she wants to design her own meal plan. Firstly, what's her goal? Okay, she wants to drop body fat. And she goes to the gym and she lifts weights and she walks, etc., say 3 to 5 days a week. So she's going to go on to a TDE calculator online. They're all called a TDEE calculator, total daily energy expenditure. That's what that stands for. And there's loads of them online. They all give you similar results. You just put in your details, height, weight, age, your level of activity, your gender, etc. And it comes back with a number. This is the amount of calories someone of your height, weight, age, and gender has to eat currently to lose a pound of body fat a week. And I have a lot of people, you know, coming on to me, oh, I used one of them and it said I have to eat 2,000 calories. Well, like, the more weight you carry around, the more energy, aka food, your body requires to shift you from A to B. So, for example, when I was 70 kg, I think my calorie deficit was like 1,900. Now my calorie deficit after I've lost 15 kg is like 1,400. So there you go. My body now requires less energy to shift me around from A to B because that's like me walking around with a 15 kg dumbbell. Imagine how tiring that would be. If I was to do that today, pick up a 15 kg dumbbell and walk around with it, I would be absolutely knackered tired. That would cost a lot of energy for my body. Like, that's a lot of effort. I'd be sweating, etc. So that's the way my body used to operate when I was 70 kg, and now I'm 54. So, you know, I've dropped the 15 kg dumbbell, and now my body doesn't have to work as hard, so it doesn't require as much food. So if you are someone that's like 70, 80, 90 kg, your body requires a lot of food. Even though you're still in a deficit, they're the type of calories you have to eat when you're in a deficit because it just takes so much more effort for your body to operate, to pump blood around your body, you know, because you're unfit as well. And it's like you're carrying, if you, let's say you lost 20 kg over the course of a year or 2 years, you've gone now from 90 kg to 70 kg. That's you walking around now without a 20 kg dumbbell. And your body doesn't require as much energy anymore. Okay. So if you do have a high calorie deficit, you aren't going to gain weight. You're in a deficit for someone of your height, weight, and age. Okay. Just, people get freaked out when they see over 2,000 calories. And as you drop weight as the months go on, like, maybe you could recheck it every 2 months. And you know, if you've lost like maybe 4 or 5 kg, well, no, yeah, let's say over a 3 month period, you've lost like 4 kg. Yeah, 3 to 4 kg. You know, you've dropped nearly probably 8, 9 pounds. Like, you probably require maybe 50 to 100 calories less now on a daily basis. So yeah, you could always double check it. But anyway, went off on a tangent there. Find out your deficit. And let's say Mary's calorie deficit is 1,800 calories. That's what she has to eat every day for a week to lose 1 pound of body fat. Okay. And let's say she weighs 160 pounds. Okay. So if we were to think about protein, okay, Anya, well, how much protein do I need now that I have my calories? Think about a pound of your weight, a gram of protein per pound of body weight. So she would require, say, 160 grams of protein, all right? Or close to it. Like, that's a lot for someone starting off. So, you know, anything above 140 would be a lot, would be a good enough target. So there's 4 calories in 1 gram of protein, 4 calories in 1 gram of carbs, and 9 calories in 1 gram of fat. So 4 by 160 grams is 640 calories. So straight away, it doesn't have to be bang on, okay? Like, if you only eat 649 calories worth of protein, all of a sudden you've messed everything up, okay? It just has to be there in abouts. Excuse me. And so 640 calories straight away is going to be going on protein, all right? And then let's say she has 3 meals a day. So let's round it off to maybe 40 grams of protein per meal. So that's 120 grams of protein. She still has 40 grams of protein left. So she could get that from maybe a protein bar and a protein yogurt or a protein shake. And then there's traces of protein in a lot of foods too. So it all adds up at the end of the day. And then if she has 3 meals, she's going to have a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So that's 40 grams at breakfast, 40 grams at lunch, 40 grams at dinner. And if she's on 1800 calories, let's say she's going to put 400 to 500 calories toward each meal. Okay, let's round it off to 500 calories a meal. So when she's designing this meal plan, she's thinking, okay, I want my breakfast to be 500 calories with about 40 grams of protein, and my lunch and my dinner, you know, there and abouts. And then whatever's left over, whatever calories is left over, can go towards snacks, like, you know, biscuits and crisps or whatever. Like, obviously not an abundance of that. You want maybe 2 biscuits, 1 packet of crisps, etc. So where am I? Sorry, I have a list there. So Mary's having 40 grams of protein per meal, aiming for 400 to 500 calories per meal. So now you need to build your meal around a protein source, okay? So she's sitting down with our menu and she's thinking, okay, so for my breakfast, what's the protein source I'm going to have with my breakfast? So you could have whey protein powder in your oats. You could have Greek yogurt with granola. You could have it with your Weetabix Greek yogurt, or a protein yogurt. Then if you had a hot breakfast, you could have turkey sausages with eggs. You could have a big omelet with maybe 4 to 5 egg whites. And now you're going to add your carb source, okay? So, you know, some of the calories is going towards protein in this meal, some of the calories is going towards your carbs. So that could be your oats, your Weetabix, granola, a wrap if you're having a breakfast wrap, and, you know, a bagel or bread, etc., if you're having toast. And then for lunch, so you could have chicken, you could have 5% less fat mince, salmon, turkey, ham, bacon, eggs again, tuna. There could be something else that I'm not think that I can't think of off the top of my head. And then a carb source with one of those could be a wrap, rice, pasta, bagels, potatoes, noodles. And then dinner, you know, obviously very similar to lunch: steak, mince, pork, fish, turkey, chicken. And then a carb source again with your dinner could be spuds, rice, noodles, pasta. So now that you've nailed down what protein source you like, so make sure it's something that you enjoy. So for me, I love protein oats and I love turkey sausages and eggs and stuff like that. So I'd always kind of like rotate those type of breakfasts, that type of breakfast. You know, my carbs, I love Weetabix lately actually as well. So I'd have that with a protein yogurt and berries. And then for lunch, I would usually have something like a wrap, like a quesadilla, is that what they call them? With like bacon and cheese. Or I could have spaghetti bolognese. And then for dinner, I could have something similar. Breakfast and or lunch and dinner is usually, you know, pretty much the same type of foods. Breakfast is just a little bit different. Like, sometimes you can have something a bit sweeter. So if I wanted a fat source, like, primarily we want to focus on protein and carbs, but, like, you know, if you were to pick a fat source, you could have maybe a square of dark chocolate if you had a sweet breakfast, like Weetabix or oats, or you could put peanut butter or nuts in with your oats or your Weetabix. Cheese is a source of fat too. You could put that maybe in with your hot breakfast. Lunch again, I suppose cheese again could be used as a source of fat, or peanut butter somewhere. And then dinner, you could, like olive oil, like there's like 100 calories in like a spoonful of olive oil, but like I'd rather spend 100 calories on like food, to be honest, and just use Froilly. But yeah, like there's such an abundance of food here, like that you can choose from to create your own meal plan. But what I would do is, once you decide then, okay, these are the two breakfasts I'm going to rotate from, these are the two lunch I'm going to rotate, and then these are the two dinners, you could do that for maybe 2 to 3 weeks and then start changing it up. And then pre-track in the morning. So you're after going out, you're after doing your shopping based on the meals you're going to have. Pre-track the night before or the morning of into MyFitnessPal. Okay, I have turkey sausages in the fridge, eggs and bread. I'm going to make a breakfast sambo. For lunch I have wraps and I have chicken and I have chopped veg and I have cheese. I'm gonna make a wrap. For dinner I have pasta and I have mince, okay, and some dal mio sauce. I'm gonna have spag bol. And then, you know, you could use the wrap then tomorrow for maybe what could you have? I don't know, you could put mince in the wrap. You could make a burrito wrap. If you had a cereal, I would say always have a cereal in the house that you enjoy, maybe oats or Weetabix. Yeah, so these are the type of breakfast that you can rotate, lunch, dinners, etc. But pre-track in the morning, like pre-track your breakfast, lunch and dinner based on your meal plan. So that way, you know, I know exactly what I have to eat today to reach my protein intake. I'm after logging it into MyFitnessPal. So now I know what I have to eat to reach my macros. And I'm not just winging it. I'm not just thinking, oh, well, when I get home from work, I'll decide what I want to eat. Like, you know what's in the presses. You know what's in the fridge. And, you know, sticking to the same meal times, having a routine and having a regime is so important during fat loss. Because, again, if you wake up every day and you're just winging it, like a good luck to it. You need a plan. You need a plan in place. You need a routine. You need a system to follow. Because winging it hasn't worked in the past and it ain't going to work this time either. So be organized. And then I know people are going to say, oh, well, Anya, I batch cook. What am I going to do if I batch cook? Okay, so let's say a chicken curry is, say, your dinner for like maybe a week. Well, I wouldn't say a week. I'd say 3 to 4 days. Let's say you batch. So basically, get the calories and macros for the whole batch. Okay, so that could be like 1,000 calories. That's it. Or maybe more, maybe 2,000 calories worth of chicken curry. But if you have that over 4 days, that's only 500 calories you're eating daily. But, you know, don't think, oh, I'm eating like a 2,000 calorie curry. You're not. Like, if you were to go out and buy a pre-packed chicken curry that was 500 calories and you bought 4 of them, it's the exact same thing. You're just cooking it in one big pot, one big batch, and you're just dividing the calories and macros over 4 days. Remember, it's our weekly total of calories that count, because we want to lose a pound of body fat a week, not a day. So that's what I would do. And then literally divide up the macros and the calories and log it into MyFitnessPal per day, as if it was just, you know, a 500 calorie meal rather than like the 2,000 calorie version. So, you know, write it down on a piece of paper. What's 1,000 after using 3 chicken fillets in this? How much protein's in 3 chicken fillets? I'm after using 2 bags of rice. How many calories is in 2 bags of rice? After using, I don't know, 200 grams of Uncle Ben's curry sauce, many calories, and then divide it by 3 or 4, whatever days. That's what I would do there. But that's just, you know, pre-tracking is such a time saver too, because what happens is, if you wait till the end of the day, and I mentioned this in a lot of podcasts, a lot of episodes, if you wait till the end of the day to log your food, you're gonna see that you've went over your carb intake. Not that it's a bad thing, but, you know, once you're in your deficit, that's the main thing. But you might end up going out of your deficit. You might have underachieved your protein goal. You know, you probably doubled your carb intake just because you are picking at things throughout the day. You're going to forget about like little bits that you had and stuff. And yeah, it's a disaster waiting to happen. So I would always pre-track in the mornings on this photo shoot every night in bed. I track what I'm going to eat the next day. So I wake up and I know exactly what I'm going to have, and it keeps me on track and it keeps me focused. And I know then, you know, even after breakfast, I'm like, right, I'm going to be having a chicken wrap now for my lunch, rather than just thinking, oh, what's in the presses? What am I going to have? Oh God, I don't have chicken. I want the chicken. I don't have any protein in the fridge. You should always have a protein source in the fridge. So just to summarize, so we went over the pros and cons of having a meal plan, how to design it. First of all, find out your calories, get your protein goal, whatever your calories are, and you have 3 meals a day, you could have 4 meals, divide it up. So, you know, you're putting maybe 400 to 500 calories towards a meal. Most of my meals are about 400 calories each. I have 3 meals a day, and then, well, I'd say about 300, 400 calories. And then, you know, I might have 100, 200 calories left over for a snack or a cappuccino. Yeah, so you divide your calories, you know, decide how much protein you're going to have per meal. Then you're going to start deciding, what do you like for breakfast? What do you like for lunch? What do you like for dinner? And build each meal around a protein source. And, you know, make sure the meals you enjoy. Make sure that you are tracking sauces if you enjoy them being spicy. If, you know, you don't have to be sticking to bland foods with no flavor, like season the fuck out of them. Like I'm getting so much more creative with my cooking because I have to be, I have to keep things interesting. But that's where I would start if I wanted to design my own meal plan. It's something you can stick to, and it's something that no one else is selling you or telling you to eat. Because like I said, to conclude, if you looked at a meal plan and you were like, WTF, if I had to eat like this for the rest of my life, could I stick to it? And if the answer is no, then that's not a meal plan that you're going to be able to stick to. If the answer is yes, happy days. And the best meal plans are the ones we can design ourselves. Or if you are working one-on-one with a coach, and you know they take the thinking power out of it for you, and they design one based on your likes, your dislikes. You know, that's really good. But I wouldn't be investing money in a copy and paste approach. No way. I've made that mistake in the past, and you're just wasting time. You really are. You know, you're only gonna last about 2 to 3 weeks. All right. But anyway, that is this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Next week, I hope to be back with a guest. And try to get guests on more frequently now, because it just makes for an interesting conversation, and sometimes it can be quite lonely talking to myself staring at a wall. But I know plenty of you listen. I know plenty of people are getting a lot of value from these podcasts. You always DM me. So I'm glad that I am helping you, because I was on the other side of this podcast at one stage, you know, listening to people that helped me and educated me. And if it means that one person is going to listen to this and not try another juice diet or detox, or you know, these weight loss communities that maybe aren't very good for them, maybe is damaging their relationship with food, and they actually learn more from this where they can improve their relationship with food, then happy days. That's my goal achieved by creating this podcast. But yes, I will talk to you all. I won't talk to you, but yeah, I'll be back next week. I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast and got some value from it.